The Bureau of Meteorology is painting a dire picture for December and January for much of Australia. The Bureau's head of long-range forecasts, Dr. Andrew Watkins, says that the early summer outlook is not encouraging. We'll be hearing that they're talking about the next 3 months as being quite a bit hotter and quite a bit drier than the average. Here's what Andrew Watkins had to say.
December is looking particularly warm and particularly dry for much of Australia. Really, the only exception is up in the western part of Western Australia. So odds are very high. We're getting up above 80%, 75, 80% in most parts of eastern Australia and southern Australia of having a drier than normal December, and likewise looking above 80% chance of having warmer than normal days. Pretty much everywhere except possibly for Tasmania, that increases the risk, of course, or means there's an increased risk of having heat waves and, of course, bushfires as well during December. But then it starts to back off a little bit as we get into the later summer.
Well, Peter Holling is a wool producer and farmer at Harden. He's also a member of Farmers for Climate Action. He says the latest three-monthly forecast from the Bureau of Hotter and Drier Conditions is ringing alarm bells with him from a farming perspective, and also when he puts on his firefighting hat.
Yeah, it's a great cause for concern. I've been a group officer for a while, and I've been fighting fires for about 40 years, but I'm particularly concerned at the moment. You know, like, the fires are just getting more intense, obviously, because of the extreme dryness, which means they spread faster, and it's going to be a mess in the timbered areas of the state. I suspect what's happened up north will slowly start to move down more into the southern half of the state, around the Blue Mountains and, you know, places like Moreton National Park and down towards south of Canberra.
And so there was some hope. The previous three-monthly outlook, I think, was saying possibly back to normal conditions and maybe a bit of moisture in January, but that's sort of, they've gone back on that now.
Well, they were sort of indicating that when we got to January, we might have got more of these summer storms, because that seems to be one of the outcomes of this changing climate, is that we're getting more summer storms. But unfortunately, with the release, the indications are that we're back at the 30-40% probability of average rain or median rain in January, so that's not a good sign, and it's also going to be a little bit hotter. So that, again, is not a good sign, and you know, it's going to make for a very interesting year next year.
And in terms of farming, I mean, does that mean you've been totally destocked and you haven't put in any crops?
No, not quite. We're down to we are at zero soil moisture, so I don't know where we're going to get the moisture from to put another crop in next year, unless it starts to rain in a real hurry, and we'll need quite a bit of rain. Like, we'll need better than average rain to just to get back to normal.
And on the firefighting, there's talk about areas in the north and north coast. They talked about bushfires in areas where they basically hadn't had bushfires before in sort of subtropical areas. That must be a concern too as a firefighter.
Well, it's a great concern because the fires are so intense. So whereas we used to fight, we've had some big fires in the past, but they were never so bad that you were sort of completely in fear of your life. But we had Cobblers Road about 4 years ago, which was about as bad as I've ever seen, and that was something I don't really want to do again. And with the fires at the moment, we're getting up into those crown fires and just burning everything. Like, it's not like they sort of move through and, you know, they burn things, but they used to leave the trees still standing to some extent. Now they're just like wastelands.
And they talk about fires jumping and trees spontaneously combusting and that sort of thing in bare paddocks. So that's alarming as well.
Yeah, well, amazing where they'll burn. I've seen what we might have regarded as bare ground burning, but you just can't get it out. You know? So, yeah, it limits what you can do. It limits where you can take the risk and send people into fires. Like, as a group officer, I have to try and work out on the ground what's safe to be done and what's not. And it's getting to the point now where it's quite unsafe to go into some of these areas. So, you know, you're then limited to sort of planes. Well, there's only so many planes. So, you know, I'm just not sure where we're headed with all of this, because it becomes quite difficult to provide a suitable service to the community. I mean, you're sort of trying to protect life and everything, but probably the easiest way of doing that at the moment is to just stay out of the road of it and let it burn.
Which means you would lose all of the trees, you'd lose all the buildings and all the houses.
Well, it means the fires end up doing an enormous amount of damage because nobody's trying to pull them up. You know, you're restricted in when you can get in there and attack them. Houses, you know, like as we've seen, 600-odd houses or something burned so far this year, which is absolutely phenomenal.
There's no water in any dams?
No, well, that's another problem. Like, you've got a good list of problems there, Michael. You're lying. Yeah, no, it's just becoming an impossible situation. I don't know where it's all going to end. You know, I think the government's got to start really thinking long and hard about a strategic plan for some of this, the impacts of climate change on agriculture. We in FCA presented them a plan, be a month or two ago now, for them to work on, and they continue to keep on pretending it's not happening. You know, we're not supposed to talk about climate change in the fire season, but a big issue with the volunteer service in how long the volunteers can continue to do this for, because most of them have got jobs or run businesses. So, you know, there's time pressures on all of that. Maybe there's got to be a real big rethink about how to support the volunteers away, and even how to support the business owners if they're, you know, if they're picking up the wages for somebody that's away for a month. That's hardly fair either.
Yeah, so they might need some government assistance or subsidies for that.
Well, I think there's going to have to be a big hard thought about all these things. I mean, I'm hearing stories of people leaving towns, and I would hope it doesn't get to the point where we start to see towns disappear, but I suspect we will. Just beyond belief that we're sitting here discussing this and the government is pretending as if nothing's happening. It's quite bizarre, really. I never believed they'd let towns run out of water, and they did that without the blink of a hat.
That's forecast to get worse as we head past Christmas.
Well, I see even Sydney, dare I say it, Sydney might run out of water. Then might actually get some action at last. But the days of pretending this isn't happening or it's not getting worse, or that should be well and truly over. And quite frankly, anybody that stands in front of us and says these days that we can't talk about it or it's not happening, they really should be removed from office. It'd be like a war where you're standing on the beaches watching the enemy coming at you and you say, oh, well, we don't think we'll do anything about it yet. Yeah, good one. Probably not the way to go.
Peter Holding is a wool producer and farmer at Harden.